Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, big news being handed down by the NFL today. They are forgoing the NFL supplemental draft and therefore denying the eligibility for Brennan Sorsby to be in it. And leaving him with very slim options moving forward. To help us break it all down, let's head out to the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right call, Kyle Wright Hotline. You can find him over on Preferred Walk On, doing a show over there. Our good friend Max Chadwick joining us now. Max, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing all right. Obviously, big news being handed out today. I think catching a lot of people, at least by somewhat surprise, the NFL actually making the decision to say no supplemental draft for Brennan Sorsby, denying his application for it, saying we're not doing the supplemental draft as a whole. Were you caught off guard and surprised by that today as well?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it felt like a foregone conclusion that there will be a supplemental draft, and Sorsby will be the first pick, I think, in, what, 7 years for the supplemental draft, too. So I was very surprised by it. But honestly, when you if you read the letter that the NFL sent to Brennan Sorsby, it makes sense. It really does. I mean, it doesn't seem like he and his team did a good job of really giving the NFL the proper resources to make a decision on this, or even the proper time to make a decision on this. I mean, the deadline is like 3 days from now, and they just got their stuff in now. So I think Sorsby himself mishandled this spectacularly by doing what he did, but also he and his agents and his lawyers, I think they did a really poor job as well of preparing for all possible outcomes and making sure he could, you know, get the best situation for himself too.
Max, I'm not sure your depth on the personality of Brennan Sorsby, but is there anything there that you've heard of, that you've experienced, that gives any sort of insight into the character? He is obviously outside of just, you know, the gambling and everything that happened, but just the type of player he is as he walks around a building in a college locker room.
I don't know anything personally, honestly, so I can't really speak too much to that, but I mean, I can tell you through the situation that it felt like not a lot of accountability was taken by Brennan Sorsby. It felt like they went into full defense mode immediately, which I can understand to an extent, but it seemed like they went right from attacking the NCAA to immediately trying to get to the supplemental draft too. And again, I don't think he or his team handled this really well at all, which is why he's in this position he's in right now. And the NFL even said in the letter that it's kind of a lack of accountability from he and his team too. So that's a big reason why Sorsby is where he is right now.
Ultimately, obviously, there's a lot of things floating around about, you know, what's actually written inside of the CBA. We don't need a deep dive into that. But, I mean, do you think this is a decision that the NFL ultimately is able to hold up and not allow him to enter into the league?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the NFL, I mean, my co-host Dalton Wasserman, we were talking about it earlier today, and he kind of made a good point. Like, this almost feels like a pseudo 1 year suspension by the NFL for this. And honestly, like, he's lucky it's only that. I mean, at this point, like, really betting on your own team and what he was doing is such a huge, massive no-no. I mean, we've seen it even in other sports, guys get lifetime bans from their sport for doing that. I mean, look at a guy like Pete Rose, for example, who still can't make the Hall of Fame in baseball because he was betting on his own team as a manager. And Sorsby was doing that. So, yeah, it does feel like this is kind of like a 1 year suspension from the NFL. And because of the unique circumstances with this, why he's ineligible for college football, I think it'll hold up. I don't know if he's able to win this case, and especially because he didn't give the NFL apparently proper resources to make a decision on this case either. Yeah. Again, like I said before, it's just been really poorly handled by Sorsby and his team.
Let's play with that then. This does hold up. He's not able to go into the NFL via supplemental draft this year. What is the route that if you were Brennan Sorsby, you would choose? Is it train for an offseason, try to get into the UFL, try to get into the CFL? Which route would you go down?
Yeah, maybe it's one of those two leagues. I mean, that could be something that works out for him. I think the UFL draft in January, so he still would have to sit out almost an entire regular football season. In order to do that, I think the most likely route for him is probably to sit out an entire year, train for the draft, and then enter the 2027 NFL draft and just see where he goes after a whole year off basically what will be a really unique situation. So that's probably what he'll do. But like I said, I don't know where teams will take him now. I mean, he was already, in my opinion, like a late day two, early day three type of prospect, even just after this year. Now with the whole gambling situation and now with the fact that he's going to have a whole year off of football, I don't know where teams are going to value him if they really do value him at all in the NFL draft.
So, I mean, you kind of alluded to what you just thought he was worth in general. If you were a team sitting in the supplemental draft, if it does end up that he's able to go into it at some point this year, what is the best you'd be willing to put a bid on to say, let me go out and get a guy with all of the off-the-field troubles that obviously come along attached to him?
Probably a day three pick, honestly. I think it was a little overblown by the media just how good of a prospect Brendan Sorsby was. Like, I did not think he was a first-round type of talent really at all, like some other people were saying. So I don't think it'll at all, especially with the whole gambling situation now, it'll definitely not be a first-round pick. I would not spend a day two pick on it either, a second or third rounder. I mean, maybe fourth or fifth round is probably the highest I would go for Brendan Sorsby. Now, I can say there probably will be a team that's willing to go a little bit higher because it is kind of like a silent auction, the supplemental draft, how it works. Like, teams will submit bids for a player. So I think some team will get a little desperate and maybe spend a third round pick on him. But if I was a team, I would not spend more than a fourth or fifth rounder on Brendan Sorsby.
And again, Max Chadwick, preferred walk-on with us here on the hotline. So, I mean, comparatively, toss him into a range for me. Like, we're looking at the 2027 quarterback class. Obviously, still a whole season to play out, but the way that it would look right now, where does he kind of fall into the range among what is such a expected to be loaded quarterback class?
Yeah, I think he's definitely right now. I mean, after, like, just assuming, like, without even taking into account that he's going to sit out an entire year, he probably was more like a late second-round type of prospect. And I was even assuming that he would have a whole year of college football to prove that he could be that good, if not better, than that. But, yeah, I think he's firmly behind a lot of guys next year's class, like Arch Manning and Dante Moore and Julian Sain and C.J. Carr and Drew Messmaker, Darian Mensah, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss, Sam Levitt, Jaden Mayava. I mean, all these guys are going to have an opportunity to surpass Brendan Sorsby. Even if I like Sorsby more than, you know, one or two of those guys, they still have a whole season to play, whereas Sorsby's going to be sitting on his couch watching the rest of them.
If Sorsby's able to go through and enter the draft, where do the Browns kind of rank in a mutual fit for where you would like to see him for the best chance to succeed inside of the NFL?
It somewhat makes sense because the Browns are a quarterback needy team. At the same time, I think you just would introduce a whole new act to what is a complete circus at quarterback.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Back right now for Cleveland, I personally wouldn't do it. If I was Cleveland, I think you already have the Deshaun Watson situation. You already have, you know, the lightning rod that is Shedeur Sanders. You already have Dylan Gabriel there, too. You just drafted Talen Green as well. I just think it'll be way too many bodies in that quarterback room. I don't think Brendan Sorsby is a franchise savior by any means. I think the Browns are better off just kind of tanking this year and hoping to get, you know, a Julian Sain or a Dante Moore or an Arch Manning next year. That's how I would go about it. I think taking Brendan Sorsby and introducing him to that already, I can't even call it loaded. It's just a very, you know, a quarterback room that already has a lot of names in there. I don't know if I would do that for Cleveland, honestly. So I get it because they need a quarterback, and I would understand it if they took him, but they already have so much going on, and I just think introducing Sorsby and his whole situation into what is already a circus of a quarterback room, I think it would just be, honestly, a disaster for Cleveland, in my opinion.
All right, Max, let me get your opinion on the 2027 class. The way too early opinion without the season playing out. I mean, you talk about Sorsby not being a franchise savior. How many of those guys do you project out to be in this upcoming class?
Yeah, I think there's right now I really like three quarterbacks in next year's draft. Like, I think three guys I feel really, really good about. to be potential franchise quarterbacks. It's Arch Manning, it's Dante Moore, and it's still Julian Sain. I'm very high on Julian Sain, the Ohio State quarterback. Now, all three of them have to prove a little bit more, obviously, this year in order to become that. But I'm a huge fan of all three of those guys, and I think all three of those guys could have been maybe the number two overall pick-ish in this past draft if they declared or if they were eligible in Julian Sain's case for it, too. So, that's how I kind of view it right now. There's plenty of other guys that I'm really excited about to watch that could enter that conversation, like C.J. Carr, like Drew Messmaker and Darian Mensah and Trinidad Chambliss and guys like that, maybe even Sam Leavitt if he really bounces back at LSU. But those three of Arch Manning, Dante Moore, and Julian Sain, those three are a cut above, I think, of everyone else right now.
Is there a quarterback class of recent memory that you can look at this year and try to make a comparison to, or is this year entirely in itself unique?
I think someone like in recent memory. I don't know if I would say it's as good. I mean, currently, I don't know if I would say it's as good as that 2024 class that we had with Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't think we have that level of talent, like, especially like going into the year. I know Jaden Daniels kind of not came out of nowhere, but of course he had that Heisman Trophy winning year and became the number two overall pick and became the great quarterback that we know he is now. But we knew that Caleb Williams and Drake May were studs going into the year. I don't know if I would put anyone quite on that level going into the year, but I think it's certainly better than the last two classes that we had at quarterback, especially going into the season, whether it be, you know, the Cam Ward class of 2025 or the Fernando Mendoza class of 2026. So that's how I kind of look at it right now. Maybe you could compare it a little bit to the 2023 year with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. That's probably a relatively comparable one, too. But, yeah, it's definitely a good one. I just don't think it's as, you know, unbelievable as the 2024 one was going into the year and then, of course, ended up being with six quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks, I believe.
All right, I have to ask you about Ohio State while we're here. You take a look at the top national championship contenders. Where would the Buckeyes rank for you on that list?
Pretty high. I don't know if I would say they're like a, you know, one of the favorite. I mean, they are one of the favorites if you're going to say like five or six teams, but they're more like a borderline top five team in my opinion, maybe right outside of number six if you ask me right now, but I mean, they're really good. I just mentioned before, Julian Sain, I think, is the best quarterback in college football right now. I think he's one of those disrespected players I can remember in college football. You still have the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver. I actually love the offensive line going into next year. I actually had it as my number one offensive line in the nation going into next year, too. Now, the big question marks, and you got a great running back, too, in Bo Jackson. I can't wait to see what he does in his sophomore year. Big question marks for me is just you lost so much defensive talent. Now, at the same time, we have said that year after year after year, and Ohio State just seems to find first-round picks every single year, even after losing first-round picks every single year. So maybe that'll happen again this year, but they did lose a lot of talent from that defense, but you do have a great D coordinator in Matt Patricia. You do have some talent still on that defense. I actually really like the secondary that Ohio State has, but that front seven for Ohio State, I do have some question marks with losses that they had and the players that they have right now, too.
All right, Jeremiah Smith, obviously, I mean, an absolute ridiculous talent, going to be a bona fide top pick. Is there another level for him to reach this upcoming season, or do you think we've kind of seen the college football plateau for him?
I struggle to even say that. I mean, he's just so unbelievably good. It's hard to envision how he can get better, but I mean, from everything I've heard in Columbus, he is the hardest worker in the building. Like, I've heard stories about how they literally had to lock the doors on him in the facility because he wanted to get in there at all hours of the day, more than I think was allowed under NCAA guidelines, honestly. So we know this guy is not only the talent, a, you know, generational type of receiver, but also the work ethic to be a generational type of receiver. And when you combine the talent and the work ethic that he has, that's why you're seeing, you know, the greatest high school receiver probably of all time turning into one of the greatest receivers in college football of all time, turning into one of the greatest draft prospect receivers of all time. And who's to say he won't end up being one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen in NFL history as well. Like, I think he is truly a special talent, and he could go down as, like I said, a once-in-a-generation, really it's a once-in-a-lifetime type of talent that we're seeing right now with Jeremiah Smith.
All right, Max, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more question about the 2027 class, the early outlook of it. Obviously, we talked about the quarterbacks, but even talking to a guy like Jeremiah Smith, I mean, among that top, the quarterbacks get so much love, but I mean, how saturated with quarterbacks do we expect that top end of the first round to be, and how many other guys find their way into that conversation outside the position?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because, you know, quarterback, it's unlike other sports, right? Whereas, you know, I'm actually watching the NBA draft right now, and, you know, you really in the NBA draft, you're drafting who's the best basketball player, like regardless of position, right? Mm-hmm. Football is different. We're, you know, positions are created differently, and the quality is not the same in football at all. Like, I think, you know, PFF has done studies before where a quarterback is like four times more valuable than any other position on the field. So because of that, you're always going to see quarterbacks, you know, get boosted up in the process probably better than they actually are as football players. So that's a tough part for a guy like Jeremiah Smith and even a guy like Leonard Moore, the corner from Notre Dame, or Colin Simmons, the edge rusher from Texas, who I think those are the three best players in the draft, regardless of position. But because of quarterbacks, you know, they might fall to the top five, maybe outside of the top five because of all the quarterbacks in the class. But I think there's definitely a lot of quarterbacks to know in next year's draft, which could push some other really talented players down the board a little bit, which I think would make a lot of teams picking in the middle of the first round next year very, very happy to get a stud talent that usually in most other drafts would go top five, top 10. Maybe we see them go like more top 15, top 20 because of how many quarterbacks there could be this year.
All right, Max, always appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you. And as we get ready and ramped up for college football season, hopefully we'll be talking again sometime soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, absolutely. Max Chadwick, preferred walk-on with us there on the Weisheart Right, We Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Obviously some good stuff breaking down on college football, but so much surrounding the Brendan Sorsby conversation that I want to get into. And you guys can chime in, 216-474-0092. When it comes to the Browns, did the NFL actually potentially save them from themselves by making the decision that they're making right now? That's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.